Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right, welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. If you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
Sure thing. Hello, everybody. My name is Tahir Johnson. I'm the founder and CEO of Simply Pure Trenton, and we are an adult use cannabis dispensary here in my hometown of Ewing, New Jersey.
Awesome. So can you just tell me like how you got the idea to start this business?
Sure. So I've been in cannabis I've actually been working on opening my cannabis business going on 5 years now. Back in 2018, I started looking at the industry. My dad was diagnosed with fibromyalgia. That was kind of like my introduction to the legal or medical cannabis industry. And so I ended up applying for licenses in Maryland and New Jersey in 2019, but wasn't successful. And I, through my networking and like advocacy work, I ended up working in a number of different advocacy organizations, working on legalization and specifically mostly focused on advancing social equity, like in pop through policy and different programs in the industry. And then in 2021, when the opportunity opened up to apply for licenses here in New Jersey, I did and ended up being one of the first people to win one of the dispensary licenses. But man, it's been such a long road to actually get this thing open. Everything you go through from the local approval stuff to construction now, we're finishing up and finally getting ready to open. But I've, my road to here is I've worn a lot of different hats, worn a lot of different roles from starting out in the beginning, being a bud tender at a dispensary to, nail everything I'm doing to own and operate it. So it's been a nice journey.
That's exciting. So what would you say is like your go-to-market strategy when you guys do actually open?
Sure. Well, I'll say our go-to-market strategy, one is being focused on the community. I think that's something that I've found has served me really well in my career. You know, being a local business, being a minority-owned business is certainly something that a lot of people have been, have been excited about, the fact that we've been able to accomplish these things. So that's something that continues to be at our core, and giving back to those same people is good for us, right? Like giving money back to our community, hiring locally, making sure that we can be a resource and an inspiration for other people that want to be in the industry, including social equity. I think also, it's a family business. I got my, family all here around me helping out to get it all done. And, Simply Pure itself, the brand that we represent, the original Simply Pure was founded by my good friend Wanda James in Colorado, the first Black-owned recreational dispensary in the country. So as a culture, she's always been supportive of, minority businesses, women-owned businesses. She's a veteran, so like supporting veterans, all those things are core to our the fabric of what makes up for us. And so hopefully people, as those things continue to resonate with people, we'll get that community support and have people coming in. And that's really the secret sauce.
So are you guys franchised under this company, right? Simply Pure?
We are, yeah. So I did a deal to license and use the name and the brand, use the license and brand Simply Pure. I guess franchise is, I guess it's a different term. I'll say it's like a more of licensing deal than a franchise.
Right. So it's more like you're using
Wanda, yeah, right. And I know that like, again, actually the franchise has some implications with cannabis being federally illegal, but also, one of the things with that's good about us is like, I carry the banner of the brand and I have the resources and support of Simply Pure, but I wholly own and operate and, have the control of my business. And I know a lot of times when you're like, the franchise, I guess McDonald's probably the most famous one, for example, right?
Right.
McDonald's, right? Like you have the name, but you don't necessarily have a lot of control over what you're doing. It's like you get the check and everything, you own it, but it's really McDonald's running the business, right? And operating it, And one of the great things about Wanda is, like, in our relationship, I have her as a mentor. I have the brand that people know and trust. But in terms of, I've had a lot of flexibility and support in terms of building this and making it, you know, making Simply Pure Trenton its own unique thing, right? It's not necessarily the same as the original Simply Pure. And we, you know, we work together and I have the support of her team. So it's been a great relationship.
For sure. So obviously getting the word out there is going to be challenging in the sense that, like, with social media, there's certain restrictions on ads in the industry. So, like, how do you plan on getting in front of people locally?
Yeah, you know, one of the things that I've been, you know, I've certainly been blessed on is that my story is going so far and wide. So we've gotten a lot of news coverage. Like, locally, I was on the cover of the Trentonian, our local newspaper. Close by in Philadelphia, I was on the cover of the Philadelphia Inquirer's Business News. You know, just recently we were on the cover of Cannabis Business Times, like a national cannabis magazine. Man, like Forbes, CNBC, like, you know, you name them, like we've gotten all the coverage. So, and even gotten support from, you know, local politicians all the way from our mayor up to folks like the governor and Senator Cory Booker. So the fact that I've had the opportunity to tell my story and make these connections, you know, our story really has been amplified, and hopefully that will translate to people actually wanting to come in and support us. So, and all that stuff has been organic, right? It hasn't been a PR agency or, you know, anything like that. Although I do have some support from PR people. Shout out to my folks at Mattio Communications that have helped me out. But, you know, we've had so much organic interest and people that just reaching out to me. Also with me personally, like, I've been, I think, a part of the cannabis movement, both nationally and locally, for so long that, like, for years, even before, like, I owned the dispensary, when people would talk about New Jersey cannabis issues, for example, I was part of the conversation. So all those things have kind of helped to, you know, continue to, for us to gain the momentum. But hope, like, stuff like this, right? Like, every opportunity that I have to touch people and tell my story is, I think, what's helped to kind of get the word out. Podcasts, you know, podcasts like this, you know, magazines, like, anybody, I think, you know, some people especially I know this business takes so much work, is so busy that, and then some people are scared to, like, you know, aren't good at speaking or telling their story. So, like, for me, I'm never too busy to go out and do that and, like, give, you know, talk about our message. And then, you know, like I said, I just enjoy talking about it. So, you know, hopefully you know, in addition to what we can do, utilizing social media, marketing, advertising, all those things, you know, stuff like this is really what makes the difference, man. But we are, in addition to, like, you know, some social media platforms are more receptive to cannabis, like Facebook, Instagram. You know, it's a quick way to get you shut down, account closed. But, you know, like, LinkedIn, man, has been a great place to, you know, for cannabis messaging, meeting people, telling a story. Like, LinkedIn, you post, get so, like, thousands of, you know, engagements on each post, right? Twitter, definitely use that there, you know. But the, you know, we'll be doing different things like advertising, mailers, billboards, kind of a multi-tiered marketing strategy to content, man, putting out content on all different platforms, you know, just all of that to try to help amplify our message.
For sure. So what would you say is the biggest challenge that you're facing as you're about to launch this?
Man, the biggest challenge is just construction, man. Every aspect of that has been, like, probably the most difficult part of all this. For me, mostly because I didn't have a background in real estate or commercial development, but I love it. I sure do now. Like, look at these plans. I know what the hell is going on. I point out stuff to the contractors that they may not see sometimes. Now I'm like, nah, I saw page 7. You know, I think one of the, like, when you think about all that, it starts off with getting the permits, right? Like, going through that, navigating that process, working with architects and engineers, your plans have to be up to code, like, doing all those things. And then for me, this is just a big project. Like, my building is I'm renovating, like, an 8,000 square foot property, like a building. A parking lot that we have is a 50 car huge parking lot, right? So including an electric vehicle charger, like, you know, all those things, like, doing a renovation on it, it's take a long time. It's really like a $2 million real estate development project. And so, man, it takes time, right? That's one of the things I've learned. Like, even conversations having with my town, like, the fact that the time that it took me to move through those approvals, I'm finding is it was actually good compared to, you know, some other people. Like I've had conversations with MSOs and they're like, man, we've been trying to get through this process like in our town for years. So again, it's just such a difficult process for anybody. And I'm thankful that we're finally through it. My, like I said, everybody shows up, even the dog Rolly, man. But he got to, you know, he popped up like that a couple weeks ago and he got to be on the cover of Cannabis Business Times with me.
That's awesome. So like, obviously now everybody's looking for the best use case for AI. So do you guys use it in the business? And if not, like, where could AI come in and potentially help you out?
Oh man. So AI, I wish I could get her on the screen, but I have a, there she is, Pepper. I have a robot named Pepper. That's my, one of my robotic employees. If you look her up, she's from SoftBank Robotics, man. She has like, she can do so much. She can like, so she can interact with customers. She can sense emotions. Like she can display stuff on her screen. There's some videos of YouTube, like they have one of these at the Smithsonian and they use it to like as a tour guide. So she can like take people, educate them about cannabis. Like she's just super cool. I'm using a, using like some AI to help customers with their product selection. It's going to be like embedded in our menu. So like help people like, you know, what do you want to smoke? How do you want to consume? Like what effects are you looking for? And it's like a baked bot AI thing. I think that's what it's called, baked bot. It's going to be integrated in our menu. Shout out to them. Man, I'll tell you just on a general note, like I use ChatGPT like for everything all day. Like, you know, for stuff, like ways you never even thought about using it. Like it's good, like running all type from running financial stuff to just helping with writing. So it's like, I embrace AI, you know, I'm trying to figure out how to use it. I mean, here in the dispensary, like technology really was one of the cores of how I wanted to build it out. My personal theme was urban future luxury. So like the futuristic part, like the whole dispensary layout of it, supposed to like really has that futuristic vibe. We got all types of kiosk screens, like LEDs all around, man. So, you know, I really want to lean into that and have that be kind of one of our differentiating factors.
For sure. So what would you say is like the one biggest piece of advice that you wish you knew before you started this company?
Man, the one biggest piece of advice I knew, I would say one biggest thing I knew, I wish I had, it's not necessarily a thing, but just like resources, right? Like making sure that you have the proper, and this is even coming from somebody that my whole career, right? Like worked in finance before getting a dispensary, like having the right budget and like, you know, how much is it going to cost to do this and the right valuation on your company. Like, you know, what is the company worth? Like what percentage does somebody get for X investment? Like those are probably the two biggest things that I like, you know, that I think of, but I still think I did a great job. Like I had great investors that I love working with. And you know, although it ended up costing a lot more than I initially thought, they still supported me and us being able to do this. So, you know, man, get your numbers right, get the money right, man. And of course, it's hard to do when you're building a team. A team makes a difference because now that I have a team of folks working with me that are experts in all these other areas, it's made my life so much easier. Like I have a person in finance that's my CFO. I have a person who, Deidre, my CFO. I have Tiffany, who's my COO running operations now. She's an attorney by trade, but she understands business, cannabis, all those things. Lynette, my head of HR, like she was the head of HR at Curaleaf, started there as employee number three and helped them scale up to, when she left, they were over 6,000 employees. You know, my man Fresh, who runs my marketing, he's been a dispensary manager, but he also was in customer service and marketing at Curaleaf as well, another MSO. So like having people now with experience that can, you know, help me do all these things makes a huge difference in the world. And, you know, just how we execute, because like people that have seen this before kind of know what to do in certain situations, and people that are motivated, like having people that want to win, that care about this, like it's their baby too, right? Like we're all trying to win, makes a big difference. If you don't have the right person that really even cares about the mission, the values of the organization or what you're trying to do, it doesn't matter how good they are, you know, it's not going to be successful. And, you know, as a leader, you got to create that environment and also find the right people. So that's that's one of the biggest things I'm staying focused on, especially as we grow our team, because we just also recruited our new assistant managers. Shout out to Becca and my guy Bryant. Like, they'll be coming on soon. And then, like, from there, like I said, the next layer of staff, like the, you know, all of our cannabis advisors. And so it's a top down thing. We got to all be vibing and want to win. And I want everybody that's a part of this team to do that. So yeah.
For sure. So if we're going to have this conversation again in 1 year from now, where do you see things going for the business?
Yeah, a year from now. Well, we better be open a year from now. You know, hopefully successful. I would say by a year from now, hopefully we'll be open and be a good model of, you know, what we can achieve in the industry. And not only will we be open, I hope that there's more, you know, minority women owned and social equity owned businesses open in New Jersey. I think we have a great market here. And there's so many people that I know personally and have met across the state that are making a big difference. So I hope that looks differently. But, you know, hopefully after a year and I get into the rhythm of dispensary, you know, I want to be much more involved in my advocacy work. You know, that was one of my biggest things that got me here. So I don't want to leave it behind. I'm hoping to be active in conversations, not only in New Jersey, but around federal cannabis policy, because we have so many important issues going on right now, from banking to rescheduling and descheduling, that it's important for us to talk about. I would also like to be focused on, you know, what next states are we looking at, and where are we going to be doing business? Although I grew up here in New Jersey, I've spent the last over 23 years of my life living in Maryland, and some of that time in D.C. So I just recently applied for a license in Maryland in the lottery. You know, man, hopefully we get it. It's a lottery, who knows, but fingers crossed. And then, you know, looking at other opportunities in other states as well. So I want to, you know, hopefully be able to grow and take this show on the road and be able to just build a good business. And, you know, well, I'll say one of the most things I'm looking to a year from now is that maybe I'll get some more time to spend with my daughters, my family, because like over the past year, I've been on the run, I've been on the go, and I haven't seen them as much. So shout out my year from now. Hopefully I get to be seeing y'all more.
So when do you guys plan to open? Like, around when? Do you have like an ETA or?
Man, that's like the big magic question. Like, right now I feel like with the construction timeline, like it's going to be in February.
Okay.
So it's like, like last conversations with the contractor, we should be looking at being finished probably like the last week with the construction, like the last week of January. We have to wait. We have to wait 30 days. And after that, we have to have a final walkthrough from the commission. And then we have to wait 30 days after they do the walkthrough, about before we'll actually get to open up. So we're looking around sometimes before the end of February. I really wanted to try to hit like MLK Day in January, like just because of the significance of the date and what it would mean. But now hopefully we land in Black History Month and make some Black history too. So that's the goal, man. We're trying to just land somewhere in February.
That's awesome. So if somebody watching this wanted to reach out, do you mind sharing your company website or social media, just best ways to get in contact with you?
Sure thing. So you can visit us on find Simply Pure Trenton online, www.simplypuretrenton.com. We're also on Instagram, that's Simply Pure Trenton. On Twitter, it's Simply Pure TNJ. We're also on LinkedIn. You can find me personally, it's the government name, Tahir Johnson, here on LinkedIn and Facebook, but Ty Diddy everywhere else, Instagram and Twitter. And you know, like I said, right now you can search, if you find us online, we have job postings up for, you know, search online on any of the job sites for Simply Pure Trent. We have a number of positions open, and yeah, like, you can please, anybody please feel free to reach out to me any way I could be helpful. You can also find more of my content if you listen to the Cannabis Diversity Report, my podcast that I had. You know, we're on all the podcast platforms, and you can check me out on there.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time today.
Yeah, likewise, man. Thanks for having me, Dan. And I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to come on and talk.
Of course. All right. Bye.
Yep. Peace.